Meeting of the Employee Assembly.
This is January the production 16th. Of Cornell University.
Call the meeting to order at 2:28 p.m.
I'm Bridget Chris Kelly. I'm a member of the EA and work in Cal's Corporate and Foundation Relations as well as Cal's Senior Associate Dean's Office. And I'm Vice Chair of Internal Operations for Employee Assembly and Chair, Co-Chair of Position Evaluation and Analysis Committee and on the Recognition and Awards Committee.
And whatever other
ones I might be on that I just left off.
And I'm on the team with you, you know.
Amy O'Donnell from the Office of Assembly.
David Brooks, I'm an EA member, and I'm from Fisher and Planning. Al Capagosi, I'm an EA member. I work over at the Credit Research Institute, and I serve on the Communications and Policy. Okay.
Ari, we missed you.
I'm Ari Epstein, Officer of the Templates.
And Gemma, we're introducing ourselves. We have a couple of guests here from the Employee Survey Response Team. We've got Beth McKinney, Julie Addy, and Rick Kuhar with us. Do you want to introduce yourself? Okay, so just very quickly on our agenda, are there any late additions? The only thing that I have is I received an email from an employee about some transportation-related issues, so if we have time, we'll talk about that at the end. I'll hold off on approving our minutes so that we can jump right into the steering committee recommendations. We've got a PowerPoint up, and since most of our committee is unable to be here right now, I'll start us off and just go through, and whoever's not here, I'll just speak for their pieces, and you guys can chime in. So what we want to talk to you guys about today is kind of where your recommendations these are, what with the minor piece we're going to push forward to the open forum that we're going to begin moving through in June. We don't want to talk about implementation, so we're not figuring out how we're going to do all of these things, but these are what we're recommending that we attempt to do. So if you have feedback or comments about that, that's great. But as far as implementation goes, we haven't gotten to that point yet. This is just feedback on the reaction that we need to look in the meeting. So the first thing is recognition of good work. So 49% of employees will be that Cornell did a good job at recognizing their staff. Many of you participated yesterday in the recognition event day. I'd love to kind of get feedback on how that worked for you later on, if you have time to talk about that. But where I've got it was quite successful. Beth is partnering with the EA, so they've been working with Bridget on the Kudos program. So we have an online mechanism of Kudos, and we're looking to get more information about that. We're also working with Nancy at the conference, so we're going to be putting out a Kudos each month, a spotlight on some of the Kudos each month, so that will hopefully inform and give people more interested in acknowledging their colleagues. The recognition group, as part of the survey, also put together several new awards that they'll start to put out information at the university about a peer-to-peer award, a management award, mentor supervisor award, a diversity award, and then from all of those awards, they will be able to be president's award, and then that first event will happen this May, so there'll be an event surrounding that as well. So kind of any thoughts or questions or comments on recognition programs? Okay. So career and development in the world, so there are quite a few things to kind of unsatisfied with opportunities for promotion. Because then kind of thought, you know, they were where they wanted to be, but there were a number of people who said, I need growth, I need to have a clear pathway for myself. So we created a campus advisory committee that is looking at and identifying kind of career opportunities, issues surrounding them. If you haven't had a chance to see it yet, there is the optimal resume program that you're talking about. This is the program that students already use for their resume building, but employees are not able to use that as well. It's a great opportunity to get in there and kind of see the resume and you know, maybe look at these positions on hopefully on campus in the future. They've been working on designing new titles for career ladders. I think most of us were here when Chris Halliday came in and Ann Snell talked to us about the career ladders, one if you want to manage, one if you want to be a contributor. So they're continuing ways to kind of design new titles. They're moving to work day, kind of the vanity thing will go away and it'll be set up to stock titles and stuff like that. The other thing that we're doing is looking at succession planning, kind of giving employees career roadmaps so that you can say, okay, this is where I am, this is where I'm going to be, and how do I get there? They're also looking at it as people retire or move off, you know, who can move into a position. So they're really starting to take a look at succession planning for employees. The other thing that we're setting up is a mentoring program. They're looking at a trade school, an online mentoring program, but they also don't want that to move us away from having, you know, face-to-face interactions, human interactions with the leader network of people who you can chat with and about their job and their life. So we're going to probably take online out of that and fill them a little more, you know, both in-person and virtual options. Questions about career paths or opportunities? Is there anybody else? No? I thought it was five groups.
So next we'd like to see Dr. Do you want to talk or do you want me to continue?
Sure, I think just as well. So before going into all the background and thinking of it, a little bit of the elements of our recommendation here, our team felt very strongly that we need to formally incorporate supervisor feedback into the performance dialogue process. There are a number of, there's a college and a number of departments and a number of individual supervisors who already have utilized the supervisor feedback process and doing quite well with it. So they're regarded voluntarily being done. And anyone who's ever been involved in the HALCRAFT program or leading Cornell, anybody who has been a participant has participated in a 360 and so has received feedback on their performance of that mechanism. Many other universities that we look at are already doing something like this and have had it in place, but we've actually some time to time. So we feel very strongly that it's too late to get this in, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done in preparing the community for this. So it will continue to be voluntarily done in 2013, and what we think we'll do is we'll share those successes that are out there to help us move towards is required by 2014. As you know, Cornell University policy requires a performance dialogue for each and every employee on an annual basis. We feel that we want to see supervisor feedback incorporated in that as required on an annual basis. We examined a number of different ways that we might be able to do that, and we got a presentation from a Human Resource College on the use of culture. And it's been successfully used by my colleague, Chris Julie. And we think that this means that some great possibility for us to be able to do it easily, do it cost affordably, and to do it anonymously, at least initially here. So we think PolTrex has got some merit. There might be other tools, but PolTrex is certainly usable for it. This is going to be a culture shift. Some people are it's awkward, uncomfortable to get feedback, to give feedback. But we want to move us toward a culture and a climate at Cornell University where feedback is expected, feedback is valued, and acted upon as well. So you can't just flip a switch and make that happen. I think that there needs to be a strategic communication plan to prepare the Cornell community for this at all levels. We need to design and deliver training, prepare both employees to give feedback and supervisors to the students. Anyone who has also gone through CalPAC in the 360, we just don't give you that feedback if they come up with that. We have trained professionals who are there who can coach and mentor you on how to utilize that feedback productively. So we don't just leave you out there. It's tough medicine to get feedback sometimes. And we need to prepare you for that. So we're not going to do that right quickly. Our charge of our committee was to examine this, to discuss it, and make a recommendation. But this is a project. It is a project, and it needs to have a project lead. The university is not going to pay for it to go out and just go wait for someone else to come in for a couple hundred thousand and do it. And we feel that it's feasible for a leading Cornell project team to take the torch and run with it. And we've already made contact with the leading Cornell team, and we have another conversation in the next week or two with the team to pitch it and look at the strategic plan and look at and design the training and look at the call track tool and see if this could be utilized. So put it in some very responsible, eager hands of the leading Cornell team. And keep in mind, the leading Cornell team, they have already undergone a 360 in order to get onto that program. So they understand the value. So the background information on it, our team, and by the way, David is on the team, and Tanya is on the team as well. We had a chance to look at some selected comments, anecdotal comments that came from the survey, as well as the quantitative data. We also looked at some focus group data, and what we found is that there are a number of situations where people do have a good, strong, valuable relationship with their supervisors. But there are also quite a few situations where it is a bad situation and relationship, and a number of others where it's not really terrible, it's just that if you can find a way to communicate a few things and make it better. So while we feel that there is a utopian view of the world would be that she wouldn't be great to get to a place where an employee and a supervisor can sit down and have a face-to-face conversation about feedback, it's great to get there. We're not ready for that. There are employees who do feel an either real or a perception that there might be some retaliation, or I might be treated a little bit differently, or just simply that I don't know how to do it, keep offering, it's uncomfortable. Supervisors who deliver feedback to employees, I can tell you, I work with them as an HR director. Many supervisors find it difficult to provide straight feedback on an employee's performance and often take the course of need satisfaction when they're expected. But yet they don't know how to deliver that feedback. And so it doesn't get addressed. So I think that we need to recognize that giving and receiving feedback is challenging. We need to prepare the community for it. Give them some training, give them tools, give them mentorship and guidance. And all of this is coming from the spirit of improvement rather than, gotcha, open season on supervisor, let's go get them, sort of thing. It is coming from a healthy place. We want to make Cornell better, we want to make our job better. That's where it's coming from. So, any questions?
One of the other things that, one of the suggestions that we had last meeting that we were working in is that it's not only important to receive this feedback, but also create a plan. So, this is why we create a plan for themselves and individual development plan as a thing, so that they're not just saying, okay, yeah, I got the feedback, I'm not taking anything, but there is a little factor that people feel like they're being heard and that changes our behavior. So the next piece is kind of the big knock here, which I think is several or different recommendations that have come out of it based on, you know, employee workload, experimentation policies, you know, time to do good work, equal distribution of workload. So the first one we talked about was position evaluation analysis. So there are quite a few employees at the university who may be saying, my position is expanded, right? I do higher level work. I want my to be looked at, my job has changed over the past couple of years, as well as some changes. Nobody's looking at it, that sort of thing. So this is more than HR as a tool, but it would be an opportunity to provide staff with a toolkit so that they can say, to their supervisor, I would like my position reviewed, and the supervisor has, the maximum of the timeline to move forward and look at the position. Depending on where the position is landed, it will be looked at by different types of people. There are stand A to B. The college and unit HR will be responsible for reviewing that and making decisions. Stand B to G, the recommendation will be prepared at the college and unit level, and then it will go up to compensation. And then we'll work together to review the position. Stand H and I, again, the college and unit will have a recommendation, but it will be looked at by compensation services in a peer review. If the vital practice specifications do result in disparity, they'll do that audit. The group has a timeline, so at the time that you request the position review platform, and what you do is they have 30 days to provide you with a response to the position description request. Now, there are a lot of comments out there that says just because you request the position review, does not mean that your position will go up. It's possible to stay the same, it could go down, it always depends, what it looks like across campus. So, there's usually the added service in the next 10 years, will increase. And should there, so kind of the whole process would take about 90 days at maximum. Now, if through that review process, they find that there's a workload imbalance, they're saying this is all that I do and they're saying it's not possible to complete this at 100% time, then it will be sent over to organizational development for faculty and staff, and they will review the position as well to try to bring it back into proper alignment. That brings us to align the machine tools and go hand in hand with it. So they'll sit and look at the position, the work that it's doing, and that's what it's
So, position review is by request. Mm-hmm. If an employee decides maybe they should be in a different band or whatnot.
Yes, you could make a request. Now, the supervisor can also look at the position and say, I think that position review isn't only on the employee,
okay.
But a lot of what we've done is that the employee might say, I think my position is something else. And they're not being thoroughly, they're not having that review happen. So this is creating a mechanism so the employee can say, hey, if you don't think you can look at, I think it's on the question I would have on it. So it's going to be a superpower.
So there's sort of like a 350 benefit to having this review take place where it can be from other people in our organization.
So the supervisor can touch the employee can talk to.
I think I would have on the side. But I think what they heard when they were reviewing the feedback was that staff didn't know that they could actually raise their hand and say, if you buy me and say, I'm doing my position classified target, I'm going to take a look at it. So part of it is, how do you get the message out there that you try to raise your hand and say, I'd like it looked at, and just be your supervisor on the difficulty for that conversation. You can call in HR and help you have that conversation and get that position review. So we want to keep the CMO, first of all, this community and let's take a look at them together.
So, you're right, the chapter themselves and ask about the role of the position. We're seeing the fact that we know it's first. I'll see the part of the organization trying to see how this kind of stuff is. We've got a lot of interest from the community, so we're going to take a look at that. We've always had the ability to have a position review, but I think one of the really important elements that's been added to this is this look at the workload. So it's not just what is your university title and pay scale, but also is the workload reasonable? That's a piece that we hadn't looked at before when we've done position reviews in the past, and I think that's one of the things that we're hearing from quite a number of people is that I'm not doubting that I'm a A and B level employee. It's just that I've got too much work. 100% of the workforce is down on, and the work didn't disappear. It's being piled on me. So that's a piece that wasn't there before, so the important piece.
And if I were to just look at workload and eliminating, updating, shifting, adding workload, or do they also look at compensation for the workload as it relates to other folks in similar categories, cross campus, things like that? And then how are those recommendations being implemented?
Good question. I don't know about implementation. I wish Anne was here because she could really kind of talk through that, but they did compliment me about the, you know, looking at the position and what it stands at, and once they look at the position, we can ban it appropriately, looking across the university to say, you know, we can have things occur. So other people have the same level of education.
Great, that's a great question, but I feel that in order to answer it properly, we
can do that.
I was just going to say that the main reason that we wanted to get HR involved in this and have compensation involved as well was so that we heard from staff that they are concerned that if they do request a position reclassification, that request is going to be stopped at their supervisor and that it's not going to go on. And that's what they were afraid of. So the reason we created the form was so that it's generated to HR and compensation so that the supervisor is then being held accountable. But the supervisor has 30 days to respond, and if HR doesn't hear something, then HR is going to proceed.
It's possible for supervisors too, because if you start out and you have some responsibilities and you grow over time and all this, keep the time you're good at, you
know, because you've been here for a while and understand the process. If you leave or go away for that supervisor to replace you, you may not want to start all over again with your new one. And you may want to replace by person to have an equal position.
It
says, in our proposal, we do have in here that to support the university's commitment to paying staff competitively and equitably across all sources of funds while incorporating budget reality. If an incumbent is reclassified and budget constraints hinder accompanying pay advancement, a correction plan to bring an incumbent to mid-market within 5 years will be put into place. You're welcome.
Within your unit, looking at the work that you do within your unit and how you can modify it or streamline it or go through that process so that, you know, you're not, you know, so many of us say at the university, I don't know why I'm doing this, you're so good stuff. So if you're looking to look at those things that you can do and you can do that, looking at the activities within the level. And then also, you know, okay, within your unit, you need to interact with units outside of your department. You know, what's your process with them and is there something that can be made there? So they're going to be really looking at continuing to launch this cost improvement program and also getting out there talking about the different tools that employees can use to improve on what that team's on. Is there training that you can do in different ways that will help you better align your work and your skills so that you can be proper to do whatever you need to do more efficiently? Which kind of brings me to the energy project piece, which I think I've mentioned the energy project before, but it's a company that talks about where they're programming on how you can work better with some. Look at yourself in the way that you work, and how best to use your time and the time management program that you guys really respond to, especially in general. Originally, our recommendation of the energy project group was kind of to launch this at a high management level and kind of trickle down to the university. based on some of the comments from the survey, we changed that recommendation, and now the recommendation is that we would launch it out to the mid-level of the organization. So ideally, we may be training 8.0 employees on how to facilitate this program, and then put it out to approximately 100 employees on campus who may most, follow the results, may most use this training, and start working kind of from the mid-level. Affected and determine that it's working well, has it helped that unit, and if so, then maybe even further with this connection on a broader scale of the university. But it's a program that, will roll out over time, because it takes a long time to get everybody. So I know there's a few talks with the program, and I think you said you found it useful.
Yeah, I think the thing that I really like about it is so we talk a lot about workload and things that are coming at us and the stresses in the job, but what we haven't looked at is the other side of the equation and what is your capacity to be able to deal with that workload, be able to deal with that stress. What are you doing to refuel and recharge and be able to deal with it? And so if you're running one empty, you're not going to be able to deal with that workload. But if you get yourself juiced up, not taking labels, but something a little bit more beneficial to be able to handle that. So that's the piece of it that I really like to look at. I took the self audit and oh my God, I failed at a 19 out of 20 tag. So I got to make some changes in my personal life to be able to deal with that capacity issue. So I think that's a great way. We're looking at it from all angles.
Questions about the energy side of things? If you haven't done it,
so I actually did an energy audit too, and I can't remember if there was any follow up. I remember doing it and I'm sort of kind of pretty
good. Yeah, I think it was on your own. That's the problem is that it's great to get this information, but then what's the follow through? And I think one of the challenges that we need to deal with, there are some substantial costs to try to do this. And then there's also, besides the financial cost, is the investment in the follow-up. So
I know there are some cognitive programs out there for sort of kick-starting your brain to be faster, more flexible, more focus-oriented, and it's sort of using some cognitive exercises and things like that to sort of get people operating on all cylinders again. But, yeah, I did that every project as well, and that's why I started looking into what kind of things are there out there and helping concentrate in an environment with a lot of distraction.
Can I ask you, did you actually take any action after the room at all?
Yeah, I did. I made a subscription to Lumosity.com and have been doing those exercises and sort of,
feeling any different?
The chicken first, the chicken or the egg, I don't know. it was pretty cheap. It was like $5. But yeah, my score keeps improving. I feel more focused at work, which is really like the big challenge. And I think like sort of overlaps into like the envelope of energy. Like your energy to focus on a task is deterred by my underlays who I need to address questions and concerns and troubleshoot for them. The phone ringing, my boss needing me to do things, and I need to concentrate on my own place. So that was one of the things that I sort of came across, and I'm still doing it, wondering if that cognitive exercise is going to go along with that.
I think that there is room for us to really zero in on this and find a way to help employees. So that's what this group is doing. The Energy Project is the one that's out there, but we recognize that there's other mechanisms as well. So I'm looking forward to the work on this.
And then moving into another
type of
energy that we'll talk about, and this is the one that we as a group spent quite a bit of time talking about. This will be changing the form for what we do now. Some of the ones we don't have to let you go. But this was a group of the Marathon, the healthcare with me, so perhaps you can go a little bit. But we first offered up a guideline, a very accessible goal, very optimal accessible goal. And so this is what we're offering up. And so We're still getting the feedback on it. It will probably work a little bit, but the idea is to be bold enough to offer a new kind of policy. So what emerged from this particular state, we worked really hard on this, was what is the equivalent of half an hour a day or 2.5 hours per week of paid review time for every employee to pursue what we have termed personal development. And so in the report, it describes personal development, and again, that might change based on the meeting that we just had. But it's a tiny bit broader than just wellness, and it's not as broad as including everything we had in world. And so we're working on that. And the other thing that happened was there's a stipulation up there that there's no way that your supervisor will let you take part in it. There's a plan of truth over there. I don't know if that at the meeting we just went to. And so if you didn't have any proper feedback on it, you can keep that in mind.
And just by the way, because it is part of it that it would be really difficult to find impossible, and it may be impossible in January, but maybe possible in February, and how to deal with all that. And it opens up a can of worms that if we're saying this is a university policy, then it needs to be for everybody. And Mary Altman feels very strongly about that, and I don't disagree with her. But there are a lot of administrative questions that are still unanswered, that have not been answered. So we're asking, especially in the forums, for feedback and from you on the general idea of it.
I would not bring up the veterinary college if there's something called billable hours.
Yes.
And that's an administrative issue because billable hours happen in more than just your department.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a sometimes they perceive talk and sometimes they real talk. And the question is if we were to put something forward like this, and the dean and the director said, okay, we're going to do it, that making it happen will be a little bit false for some extent.
And there's also now in New York State mandatory CDUs, which may make it a little easier to help them.
I think that 2.5 hours is really great because it's modest, but at the same time, it's about the amount of time an employee would expect to spend out of the office in the classroom if they wanted to take a class for a semester to improve a specific area, which can be difficult to have to lose time for some employees.
Right.
But,
yeah, exactly.
I think that's very helpful.
And meeting, but I thought that would be great for even specifically for the EA when we're trying to fill seats and employees are feeling like they can't participate because they're not, you know, they're not actually going to get time off. This would allow them to have that time. So I really like that.
How does this fit in with the staff? I mean, is it the same thing with you that, I mean, always aren't really counted or tried?
Exactly. It's not a real cost in terms of I'm giving you the hours extra or paid time. You have to work to get the job done. And so if you look at it in one way, it's actually easier to be flexible with if you're HM. And in theory, if you do take care of yourself, you'll be more productive anyway. So,
Are there always specific areas where, taking advantage of benefits? Like, does it always come down to Cornell Dining where, like, during lunchtime, those people just need to be there, they're totally busy? Like, is it always the same area on campus where we have these issues of being released for these classes or wellness or?
That's a good question, and I believe that student admission is exempt versus non-exempt because of the tracking of time. However, if you are non-exempt and you have the kind of supervisor or a department that says yes, we allow, it makes it a whole lot easier. And so, in answer to your question, yeah, what we want to do is be able to tell all supervisors, even for a department like starting that have a lot less flexibility, that if you get a request, we encourage you to work it out. And part of what's in the proposal talks about maybe the business name, and maybe you don't call it lunch if you are on the front line, but there's a kind of thing. There should be a way to figure it out.
Maybe we could have, you know, specific guidelines that address problems or problem departments.
Exactly. That's my hope.
This is where this came from, the feedback was really a lot of it was around communication and application of our policies. Right now, this is a policy per se, it's a new kind of thing. The proposal is basically saying, let's make the policy, let's make it real for every employee. So, the previous policy was around, you know, if that people all can be used, that where to post that and how do you address those things, because shouldn't it be available to everybody? And I think that especially, we have strongly concerned with wellness, but one of the main components of that journey is wellness. And this is a direction, on all of them have an impact on our health and so forth, on what the university is doing, the things that we're doing. So this is going to make a really good business case for some of this, and some of this is going to stretch for people. So how do we get there? I think taking steps to get it, in policy is a really good step to make.
I know one of the, we kind of addressed a similar situation or issue or proposal to this, to the dean board committee that looked at the survey results. And a lot of the pushback that we received there was, what about the union workers? What about those that are out in the farms and that are out in the fields and all of that stuff? So that's something that we received big pushback on.
And yeah, it's not an easy question to answer.
Right.
Sometimes we have more enforced rights and stuff like that that we never
expected. Yeah,
all great feedback, and I know you have an agenda today, and so when you have thoughts about any of these things that you've heard today, you can email Connie and she'll get it out to the appropriate department, you probably got one, you're supposed to get one. Every employee should have gotten, each committee should have coordinated if you are the volunteer. So the volunteer is lay people all over, and it's a cross-section of insurance, management, union, different levels, gathering of HR people, and so they pay attention to that. They just look at other types of demographics that are available by looking at them.
Didn't have that information. But we did our best, I think, to try and get everyone who wanted to volunteer for something on some.
Yeah, because I was really wondering, because I know when you talk about people of color, the majority of people of color is working with those people. And then we're not kind of the same. And I just never heard of any of my colleagues being part of the community.
I
I don't know if we've got that kind of demographic for a camera. I know we've got those. I know the university group, but I don't know if they've got based on colleges and unions, but I don't know that they have jobs, but I don't know that they both have information and to, you know, manage. I guess the big question I wanted to ask was, have you heard of anyone who wanted to be on the committee and didn't get to be on the committee? But that said, we had a spreadsheet of a list of people's names, and we basically said that, okay, these people want to be on this committee, and we need 5 people, and you know, there's 8 people, so said, okay, let's take an example on them. Richard?
I was just going to say, Beth, I don't know how widely trickled down that type of communication went, because the only way I knew about the committee was through the EA. And people, other people that I had spoken to did not know about the committee except for by me relaying information to them. So I don't think, yeah, I was just saying, I don't think that was widely trickled down.
We can go back and look at that original matrix that we got, but what we were given in the spreadsheet that said, here's undefined people, here's the number that comes, and how many people, here's this, here's that. So it kind of broke down. And the area that we didn't have, but if you went back and tried to list it, you saw no
data. You know, I think that we should, you know, this discussion, the president charged Mary Opperman with examining the key issues that came out of the survey. She charged the vice president of HR to take a look at these. And what she did was she established a theme of people that she could really challenge to, okay, well, let's talk about how we're going to move this forward. And her charge so up was that she said, I don't want this to be HR driven. I want you to go out and get people who are out there working in the unit and get them involved. And so we did. Did we put out a vote on it? Let everybody get a chance to do it? No, we didn't. We wanted to get people who we felt could represent the views of the different job levels, the different places, and people who can really make a good contribution. And people who can have the flexibility to be able to get there to show up to the meeting. So, no, I can't say that it is equal opportunity for 10,000 people across campus. I can't say that. But that wasn't really the charge. The charge that Mary gave us was go out and get some people to put on a team to represent the views, and that's what we did. And we moved it along, and if there's anything in the presentation that the initiative that we presented here that we feel hasn't met the interest of any group of employees, we want that feedback. But we do think that we do have something that represents the interest that came out of the survey. And came out with local food. So if there's anyone who feels that we disenfranchised, that we haven't represented, you know, please give us that feedback. But, you know, this has been some great work that you all began. It was your initiative to say we want a survey. And you guys got that done for us. And I, everywhere I go and talk about this, that survey is a gift. It's a tremendous gift. We learned something. After coming out of 3 tough years, we learned something about ourselves and the way we operate here. And I'm very appreciative that the university, with David Ford's leadership, Mary Opperman's leadership, they are committed to going to this college. And the work of our ELC team and the subcommittee, we now have some initiatives that have been sent through a lot. And we're going to get into that part of the open floor of forum. But the solutions that we're going to get are going to meet the needs of the people here, the interests and the needs, and this is so bold of universities to do this in the field of the 3 years, especially here. So I think there's been the best interest and, you know, and heart that has gone into this. A lot of people care a lot about this. We're a part of it. So please let us know your feedback. We've got a lot more groups we're going to run by, and we will listen to do that. Thank you for lunch, by the way. I got to go run news mode. So.
Thank you guys for coming. Thank you. Okay, so folks, we have 17 minutes to get through the rest. So very quickly, any changes, additions to the meeting minutes? Linda?
Item number 7 is for new destination, not for. So,
we
just change it to
okay.
Sort of
ask
next in two places in that
okay.
Right. Well, the in the first paragraph, we're going to end the way
any other? All in favor? Great. Thank you. Okay. Third and whatever. It's all good. Okay. We already did that. I will not give a report other than to say that I've got a couple dates for open forums. I will email them to everyone and we'll want to start getting those on the books. Moving into old business, Greg was working on a resolution to request employee survey response progress reports from college and divisions. Do we want to talk about that now or do we want to do that at our next?
Do that or next. I mean, I guess my one question that I would throw out for the consideration if people want to shoot an email to me offline over the next week or so is what is our specific that we're asking for? So I started sort of putting this resolution down, and the feedback we got from Mary when we sort of floated it out there last time with us, she said, you know, be very specific, you know, give something that has to be responded to. I thought that was good advice, but I don't know what is that specific. You know what I mean? You want a response, but what is it that, or is that specific enough? So I guess I would say.
My sense would be to say something like an annual report on what steps or measures, you know, your unit has taken in your response, in your college or unit response to the employee survey. So this is something that, you know, if President supported it, we can then have that be an annual thing, you know, as we want the survey to be ongoing. You know, this would be something, and I know they're already doing that for, like, the diversity initiative. So, you know, this may be just another thing that they need to report out on. David, I think you're certainly here.
Do you, like, want to share with us the resolution you started working on and, you know, ask people to do feedback on it?
Sure, yeah.
And tell them you get a view, by all means, you know.
Yeah, I'll
post
it out there. I'll do that.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other initial comments? Okay, CARE Fund fundraising. I know Joe was going to look into that, and you and Joe both.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to wait until Joe's here next?
I'll give you a quick, just a little bit. So Joe and I are getting together next week to sort of just sit down and sort of brainstorm ideas, and we'd like to sort of put together some sort of larger picture plan in regards to fundraising around that, and sort of then float that out to have some sort of discussion or dialogue about Joe's sort of idea here, and we sort of on the same page is really try to find some way where we can blow it out of the park, so that as we do like the CARE Fund option and some of these smaller fundraising types of them, they're just sort of additional or replenishing little amounts, but we're not relying on those sorts of things to create this fund. I think it'll be extremely challenging, and we'll have to get a lot of different opinions and sort it out and do the process. But I know it's something that Joe's really passionate about, and he just wanted to let everybody know that we hope to put something together and then bring it back for extensive discussion and feedback and probing and filing and all those fun things that we do. So.
Good. Well, thank you. Bob is not here, so we will not talk about the budget today. Bridget,
quick update on the Red Event. We hosted our first Red Event yesterday morning. I think it went off very successfully. Does anybody have input or anything from the locations that you were at that you'd like to pass along?
So I'm on the stage with Scott and I think the response was phenomenal. I mean, I did hear some technical talk about the fact that it was not out in every building. Maybe a little off the track for people to come to wherever the locations were. But the people who came in to have the donut or the peanut or the grand or the bus, they were very, very appreciative of it and very positive feedback. We were supposed to get 6.5 dozen of donuts, but they got 9.5, and we almost finished it up.
Wow.
Yeah, we got ours, and we're glad, because we had some left over. We were supposed to have 4 boxes.
It was a way to give out the message, and they could be open up appreciation very positive. Mm-hmm. That's the feedback that we have.
Glad to hear that. Anybody else?
I was at the ECO office building, and I was sort of, after everything was set up, to hang out by the doors and pass out little patches of paper, and people came in so they knew, like, go stop by the food. The lobby was filled up at one point, and people were sort of standing around, mingling, and chit-chatting,
talking
about EA. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
There was no coffee. I thought there was
going to
be coffee.
No, we had coffee in Robert's hall, but that was only because Dean Boyer decided she thought we should have coffee, so she took the coffee herself. Mm-hmm.
And Arts and Science is there.
And I think, Arts and Science is
there. That came through HR. If we can keep the time varied, because early mornings we're really busy at the hospital getting everything done, so it won't be in the afternoon for the next one.
I'm not quite sure what the next event will be, but we do have it on our radar. Our goal is to do 5 events. That's what we've committed to. So that's what we're planning on.
Are we going to rotate locations or events as in we should have been able to cover the campus with each event?
I'm not exactly sure. I think we're looking at doing different types of events other than just like another donut event. We're looking at doing some different types of events where you may be able to hit more of the broad-based campus and things like that.
And I apologize for not picking up on it sooner, but more campus. We got some feedback that more campus felt very
We have heard that.
One of the comments that I got, other than, you know, people who came and they really appreciated it, but not everybody gets Paw Print Flash. So,
but more people do now.
Yeah. Some people didn't know about it, and I know there were some comments that, you know, it went down to, like, the DDD list, but as usual, information stopped there, and some people didn't get all the way down to the DDD list.
I agree with often Flash goes to 1,800 people, so obviously that's not the problem. It wasn't possible, but also, which does go to everybody, and there's still a hard copy going up to the building and dining. I think part of the problem was that because of the timing, the first red announcement was just before the winter break. Nobody's paying attention to anything other than the upcoming winter break.
I think
some of it had to do with timing and we can work on, the next one, making sure that we get better.
Yeah. Greg, you have
to. Our information went out through our, like, all hotel, all school emails, and our HR actually made a large poster. And sort of put that in the infographic plus. I think, making sure that you're really sort of partnering, or Mary's encouraging the senior HR people in the columns to really get it out there would be helpful. We had about 150 people come through, which I thought was really well. Our dean came out for a little bit, which I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to be thanked by peers. It's another thing to be thanked by the people who people think are inaccessible. Mary stopped by our thing for a minute, I think maybe on her way in or way around or things like that. But I think having those sorts of people at those type of events really says that this is a strategic priority and something we're committed to. And we are thanking you, not just showing that our committees are thanking you, but we're here in our morning giving of our time to recognize you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. And thank you for those of you that volunteered at stations to help us out. Greatly appreciated.
Richard, you want to talk about Scoop and Hope?
Well, Scoop and Hope this semester are looking for a date when VA can represent and volunteer. And it's a great event. I have done it, and it's just fun. Mm-hmm. So I'll send out an email, because we're kind of short on time, and propose a couple dates and see what we can do.
Tomorrow's the first
one, right? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's the first one. We thought that was a little too close to...
If you have a good idea, it's really nice.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they are a lot of fun. And it is fun to serve, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the best one.
That is a lot of fun.
And if you can't stay for the whole thing, you know, it takes, basically, if you just wanted to go and do the soup serving part, it's about a half hour in time. Okay. Workday photos?
Yeah, actually, that was something that Bob had wanted to put on the agenda. I don't know, has anybody seen, or has anybody seen a demonstration of the workday?
No.
Demonstration? Demonstration? Our group actually had a demonstration given earlier this week, and in the demonstration it talks about the different groups on at campus, which is really nice, and it has a really nice way of laying it out. It also includes employee photos from their employee IDs. And Bob just was wondering, throwing it out there, if people thought that, how well that was going to go over with staff, that now their photos out there attached to their name. The reason why I brought it up is because actually in our area, we've had times when the photos were part of some of the systems that we use, because we use it for, it was at one point a card access system, pulled in the photos of the students. And our housing system pulled in the photos of the students. And then we were told, no, you can't have access to those photos. That's privacy issues. And wondered if the feeling was out there that maybe staff might feel the same way. Now, what is being pulled in is other information, and that's what's already in the directory. This is just something that is new. It would be the photo. I think it's great. There's nothing better than, like, oh, that's who that is. I talk to them all the time on the phone. Now I have a face to put with it.
But if you look at my photo looks nothing like me.
But he just said something
to me. People do a double take.
Maybe there are people can kind of think about and come back next time with some feedback on how they feel about that. The one question we didn't get answered yet is whether or not it would be an option for employees to say yes or no to that. Because you can say, I want my home phone on there, or I don't want my home phone on there, just like, no, I'm the directory.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that's actually an option with the photo.
Yeah, I think the photo is a good idea, and I think most people are going to be fine with it, but I know some people are very sensitive in particular about this photo that should be taken.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be that, 3 or 4% who may or may not keep it.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion, and I get a lot of students, or former students, who will write back and say, write to us and say, hey, I'm now doing X, Y, or Z, and you've got my pictures from the show up. I don't want that up anymore because I'm running for a government position or this or that. I don't know for myself if I, right now, if you're applying for a job, I can go in and pull up you on Facebook and see what pictures you have up there, and now it's going to be quite easy for anyone to pull you up and say, gee, let me look at this person, and are they 58 years old, or are they 25 years old, and and that makes, that just gives me pause for concern in the job market situation.
That's a really good point. I don't know, however, is if outside folks from Cornell actually will have access to work there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a really good point. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent point.
Once you leave Cornell, is the photo left in the directory forever and ever, or does it eventually get
That's a good question.
Right.
How about that, though?
The platform that they wrote when they were 18 isn't something that they necessarily want circulating when they're 22.
Right.
So we just clear them out.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I know people that have left the university whose net ID still works.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still on listservs and still getting email communications and that they should not have been receiving.
Okay, so if anybody gets any other feedback on that or have any other ideas, we can readjust at our next meeting.
And I'll try to find out a couple of those ones.
Okay. Curtis, you want to give an elections update?
Yes, elections update. We're getting ready to get underway. I heard back from many of the employee family members. I only heard back from one. It's not going to be really long for elections. So we're going to have What's coming up that I do need people's help on is the information session. I know that Cool will only be there to try number two. I need about 3 EA members per event. If more want and can, please come and attend. As you all remember, you received a copy. It's no longer a draft copy, but it's official for the calendar of the event. And information starting on the 23rd. Any questions?
I need to stop those envelopes.
Yeah, we
just
need
to
stop
them.
We need to stop envelopes.
We need to stop envelopes.
Oh, we need to stop envelopes.
Today, right now.
Okay.
In our, we should have had
one question.
Thank you.
For example, did all of you receive a letter from President Ford?
That was awesome. I did. I felt like I should run.
Third year in a row that's gone out, and we call it.
So that is all that we have. If anybody has 5-10 minutes that they can stay for a few minutes and help us stuff the envelopes to get out the information on the running, it would be greatly appreciated.
Right across the hall. Right across the street.
Motion to adjourn. Second. Great. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.